This is a 720 to go podcast from Chicago's WGN Radio 720.
This podcast is sponsored by ADM.
As one of the world's largest agricultural processors, ADM is uniquely positioned to serve the world's growing needs for abundant food and renewable energy. ADM.
When it comes to the business of America's farmland, you need the information from the people who know it best. That's why we bring you AgriCast with Orion Samuelson and Max Armstrong.
And I'm Orion Samuelson, working from the studio in Huntley, Illinois this morning, Roger, looking at a snow-covered lawn. We got enough snow last night, off and on showers, that the lawn is covered. I'm sure the snow will disappear quickly, but chilly morning, my thermometer reading 13 degrees right now, and wind chill that's even colder than that. So I guess winter arrives the 21st, and that will maybe take us into winter-type weather, because we've certainly had unusual weather for the month of December thus far. But anyway, between now and 6 o'clock, the annual visit at Christmas time of Wisconsin's Alice in Dairyland. She'll be joining us shortly here on the Saturday morning show. The cattle market continues to slide, with the exception of yesterday when we saw an up limit move in both feeder cattle and live cattle futures. So Dennis Smith, the livestock analyst at Archer Financial Services, will be joining me on the line just a little bit later this morning when we talk markets here on the Saturday morning show. But good to have you with us this morning. I think we all survived the WGN Christmas party yesterday, and certainly the miracle on Jerry Well Street, which was a lot of fun, and enjoyed it very much. I know that a few people were able to stop by and watch this drama being performed by the members of the cast from WGN Radio. So we will get to our visit with Alice in Dairyland when we continue here on the Saturday morning show. This has become an annual event, the opportunity to visit with Wisconsin's Alice in Dairyland in the Christmas season. And I think probably Alice in Dairyland promotion program in Wisconsin is perhaps one of the longest, if not the longest, running promotions in agriculture history. And we have with us the current Alice in Dairyland, Tiana Lather. And let's begin by finding out where you're from.
Yes, I'm from Sauk City, Wisconsin, so just about a half an hour northwest of our capital city of Madison, and I grew up on a dairy farm there. We had about 100 cows growing up, and then now we've transitioned into having market hogs and beef cattle, and we even grow 10 acres of vineyards on our farm for the local winery.
So we're making wine along with milk.
Oh, yes. Wisconsin has more than 100 wineries nowadays, and so the viticulture industry has certainly become a very important part of Wisconsin's $88.3 billion agriculture industry.
You were named what Alice? How many years?
The 68th Alice in Dairyland.
68th Alice in Dairyland, back in June?
Back in June, yep. We kick off being Alice in Dairyland with June Dairy Month in Wisconsin. And since we are America's Dairyland, and our dairy industry is certainly our backbone, it's a great way to begin the year as Alice, being Wisconsin's agriculture ambassador. And the next Alice will be selected here in just a few short months, but I've been certainly enjoying my time. It's been a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Have you kept track of the number of appearances you've made since you became Alice?
I think it's been around 200 or so. I'm about halfway through, and Alice usually makes about 400 appearances at different events. I spent all 11 days at the state fair. I have been to multiple county fairs, dairy breakfasts. And then now that school season has kicked off, I'm starting to visit many fourth grade classrooms, because that's when they start to learn about our state and incorporate Wisconsin into their curriculum. So I come in with the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board, and we start to teach them about Wisconsin agriculture, too.
And being a Wisconsin dairy lady yourself, I'll bet you have still learned a lot about agriculture in Wisconsin you didn't know.
Absolutely. You know, growing up on such a diverse farm, I thought I had a fair understanding of what agriculture meant to Wisconsin, but we rank number one in the nation for the production of things like cranberries and ginseng and mink pelts. So there's many more things in Wisconsin agriculture that I've been able to learn about. And I think that's truly something that I've valued in this job, is that each and every day I'm learning something new and exciting about something that I'm so passionate about.
Well, I know you are passionate about something special from Wisconsin at this time of the year, because for Christmas gifts, you have a lot of different ideas involving Wisconsin agriculture.
Yes.
Where do we start?
The Something Special from Wisconsin program, like you said, it's amazing how many different things there are out there for holiday gift-giving ideas and incorporating local flavors. The Something Special from Wisconsin program is unique to our state. And when you see the oval logo that bears that Something Special from Wisconsin label, you can be guaranteed that at least 50% of that product has been grown, processed, or produced right in Wisconsin. So at least you are supporting, it's a sure sign that you are supporting a local business coming from many small family businesses as well. We have more than 480 companies that are part of this program, and it's a great way to celebrate buying locally and supporting our farmers and our agribusinesses throughout the year.
So give me some ideas for people who haven't yet finish their Christmas shopping.
Well, being from America's Dairyland, I think one of the things that people are most familiar with is our cheese in Wisconsin. We have more than 600 different varieties, types, and styles of cheese that we produce.
600?
600.
Because when I was growing up on the dairy farm and my uncle had a cheese factory, we just made cheddar.
we are the number one cheddar producing state, but we have grown to be much more than that too. And one of the examples that is great for this holiday season is Widmer's cheese. And they specialize in brick cheese. And brick cheese actually got its name from the fact that when it's being made in the mold, a heavy brick is placed on top to weigh the curds into place. And so Widmer's cheese is now going into its fourth generation. Joe Widmer is their master cheesemaker there, and he actually uses these very same bricks to make his brick cheese that his grandfather did in the early 1900s. So rich with family tradition and history in that cheesemaking family.
And the brick cheese in how many flavors?
They do have it in the mild, and then the traditional brick that has its own very unique taste. They also make Colby and cheddar too. And Colby was actually invented in Wisconsin in 1885. So certainly many different types of cheese that he's famous for there at Widmer's. And then perhaps to pair along with that, you'll look for something like Barris Brothers Coffee. And this is something that's very unique.
You don't grow
Wisconsin.
Coffee in Wisconsin.
No, we don't necessarily grow it. But Barris Brothers does brew it in Wisconsin, and they roast it there. And it's based in Watertown, but they import some of the finest coffee beans from around the world, add their own unique flavors. They have more than 100 different coffee flavors. And then they distribute all throughout the Midwest, too. So you can find many of their coffees in all kinds of different marketplaces and retail locations. One of their very famous ones is Highlander Grog. So it has a blend of caramel and butterscotch and hazelnut. So if you have a coffee lover on your Christmas list, you'll want to check out Barris Brothers.
What about some of the other gifts?
There's another one that's also one of my favorites. This one comes from CTL Foods. And this happens to be old-fashioned malted milk powder. So if you're looking to combine a little Wisconsin dairy with a little sweetness, it's perfect for that.
All of these products are available online with websites. Is there a place where they can get websites?
Oh, yes. You can visit the Something Special from Wisconsin website at somethingspecialwi.com. And there's also great gift-giving ideas that go beyond the food items in Wisconsin, too. We have things like alpaca socks. So if you're looking for a stocking stuffer, perhaps, for the holiday seasons, they're about 5 to 7 times warmer than wool socks. So great for these Midwest winters that we have. And then there's also things like Absolute Soap. They incorporate a lot of agricultural ingredients like skin-loving shea butter, cocoa butter, rice bran oil, avocado oil. But they're a great piece for having on your sink as well, because they're truly a work of art. So many different unique gift-giving ideas that you can find on the Something Special website, somethingspecialwi.com.
And it's not just holiday time. It's throughout the year, I would guess.
It is throughout the year. You can support local businesses all year long with the Something Special from Wisconsin program. And so it's a really sure sign that you're giving back to perhaps a small family business or one that is creating some very unique things that you can enjoy throughout the year.
As you said earlier in our visit, you're experiencing a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. What happens when you pass the Alice crown onto the new Alice?
Well, when I was in graduate school at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, I really enjoyed teaching. I was a teaching assistant for our introductory animal science course, and the majority of my students didn't come from an agricultural background, about 120 students. But I really found it was a very rewarding experience to be able to pass on that knowledge to the future generation of agriculture out there. And so I'd really envision myself continuing to be involved in education. And a lot of what I do as Alice in Dairyland is educating the public about Wisconsin agriculture and various things that people are interested in and where their food is coming from. So I certainly want to stay on that track, perhaps when I'm finished as Alice. And then the 69th Alice will continue on the longstanding tradition of being Wisconsin's agriculture ambassador.
Well, you have to stay in agriculture one way or another because of all of the knowledge you're gaining this year, not only about agriculture, but how to talk about it.
Exactly. And I think that's what's important going into the future is learning how to have that conversation with the public and with those people around us, because people are becoming more curious about where their food is coming from, how it's being produced. But if we continue to tell that story and the fact that these are family businesses that are their heart and soul and passion is in agriculture and sharing it with the rest of the world, that's what will really draw people in so that we can keep growing agriculture forward into the future.
And finally, how does Alice in Dairyland celebrate Christmas? What are you going to be doing on Christmas?
I think that I'm looking forward to some time with my family. I put on about 40,000 miles as Alice in Dairyland throughout the year, traveling to different events, but I'll be able to come back home and enjoy some time with family and, of course, celebrate with our table with all of those something special from Wisconsin flavors and the Wisconsin cheese, too.
Well, we welcome you for what has become an annual visit by Wisconsin's Alice in Dairyland. Wish you the very best, Tiana.
Thank you so much for having me in studio.
Okay, a visit with Tiana Lather, 68th Wisconsin Alice in Dairyland. 24 minutes after 5 o'clock, and it's a cool morning. 17 degrees at O'Hare. And here in the Huntley, Illinois community, I have a white lawn. We had snow showers last night, enough to accumulate. Temperature here, 13 degrees at Huntley, and some wind chill factors that are also working into the temperatures this morning. It's a chilly morning, but then it's December, and we haven't had too many chilly mornings this year. It's been an unusually warm December. Don't know what you'll be doing on Christmas Day, but or maybe some of the parties ahead. Today, an annual party for myself and Gloria and a lot of other people. We're Scandinavian, and Jerry Lagerlof, who flies for United and flies for me once in a while, is Swedish. But the Swedes and the Norwegians do come together the Saturday before Christmas to bake lefse. And that's going to happen today when about 12 gentlemen, I think they're gentlemen, will gather at the Lagerlof house to bake lefse. So what is lefse if you're not Scandinavian? The best way I can describe lefse is it's a Norwegian-Swedish tortilla. And the ingredient is potatoes and lard rolled out thinly and then baked briefly enough to turn it a little brown. And it sort of takes the place, well, at our house in Wisconsin, it took the place of bread, really. It was generally enjoyed as any kind of a spread that you wanted to put on it, or some people roll meat in it and all that sort of thing. But anyway, keep an eye on the fire alarms in Sugar Grove, Illinois, later today, because you never know when we'll start a fire at that one. As far as weather is concerned, if you do have snow on the ground, it probably won't be there in a couple of days, or maybe by the end of today, because as I look around the Midwest at Davenport, where it's 18 degrees and fair at the moment, today should be a sunny day, tonight mostly clear, and then Sunday breezy, partly sunny early, and then patchy drizzle, Sunday night drizzle, and Monday a chance of rain, and then partly sunny, But Monday's high in the Quad Cities will be 44 degrees. Madison, Wisconsin this morning, fair, 13 degrees. And today, warming up to 27, sunshine. Tomorrow, though, will be partly sunny, and then patchy drizzle moves in, but the high will be 41. And on Monday, rain likely in the Madison area with a high of 40. Down in Champaign this morning, 22 degrees, fair skies, and should be a sunny day with a high of 34. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and breezy with a high of 80, but Sunday night, showers likely. And on Monday, a chance of showers and, again, breezy with a high of 48 in the Champaign area on Sunday. Make that Monday. And then across the lake in South Bend this morning, 25 degrees, mostly cloudy with haze this morning. And today, scattered snow showers and then turning sunny, but the high only at 31. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high of 46 in northern Indiana, southern Michigan. And then Monday, the chance of rain moving in there. Pretty much the same forecast for right here in Chicago, but we like to do our checking across all of the Midwest, the Heartland. Incidentally, that's the name of Max Armstrong's book this year, Stories from the Heartland. And I think he has a book signing today, but he hasn't let me know where it is. But you'll find that to be an interesting book as well. Well, we're approaching news time, but before we get there, let me just comment on the week, because it has been a very eventful week. Federal Reserve raising interest rates for the first time in 10 years, and then watching the gyrations of the U.S. stock market and the world market that yesterday with the close saw the worst two-day drop in the Dow and the S&P, I think, since back in November, November 1st probably, and the market just really trying to figure out where it's going. Price of oil, which we appreciate when we go to the gas pump, is creating part of the reason for the downward trend in the stock market. It's showing apparently a slowing in the economy around the world, and so we'll keep an eye on that. But yesterday, something else happened. President Obama signed that budget bill. Included in the budget bill, we changed the rules for country of origin labeling, COOL, that has been around for more than a decade, and the World Trade Organization has kept ruling that we are in violation of world trade rules to the extent that Canada and Mexico were going to begin to retaliate. Well, apparently that will not happen now, because the omnibus bill repealed the country of origin labeling requirements for the muscle cuts of beef, pork, ground beef, and pork. That means there will be no trade retaliation. And I'm Orion Samuelson here at 25 minutes before 6 o'clock, working from my studio in Huntley, Illinois this morning, and answering a couple of questions that have come in. So let me take care of that, and then we'll get on to Samuelson Says. But before we do that, the book signing today with Max Armstrong will be at Waterman, Illinois, at the Barshinger Machine Shed. Now, when I published my book about 3 years ago, we held a book signing at the Barshinger Machine Shed. It's a nicer machine shed than some homes I have been in, and I think you'll enjoy the day. And I also have word from the publisher that in addition to Max's book, they'll have copies of my book in case you're still looking for a gift. Why, you'll have the opportunity today to get a Armstrong book and a Samuelson book, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Barshinger Machine Shed. Spent an interesting day in Washington, D.C. on Thursday of this week to do something I've done for the past 37 years, conduct a year-end interview with the Secretary of Agriculture, Tom Vilsack, and spent an interesting 45 minutes with the secretary. And he said at the time that he thought the COOL situation would be settled to the point where the World Trade Organization would be satisfied and we would avoid that retaliation by some of our big trading partners in agricultural products, including Canada, our number one trade partner in agriculture, and Mexico. Well, time to say welcome to Samuelson Says. I'm Orion Samuelson, and this is brought to you by Wink Products Company, makers of quality specialty cleaning products since 1947. And today, my question is, why can't we all get along? If there's a second thing I know, it's that all clothes enjoy a good cleaning. For even farm-tough stains, I treat them with Wash Away. Wink Wash Away results are truly stunning. Pick up a bottle of Wash Away this holiday season and you'll quickly learn why it is the best. Don't just wish it away, wash it away with Wash Away from Wink Products. Log on to Wink, WHINK.com to see all the fine cleaning products from Wink. And happy holidays from your friends at Wink. It's a message I think I deliver just about every year at this time. At the time of Christmas, a joyous time of the year, when people who are of the Christian faith celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. So the question I ask is, why do we have to spend so much time in the courtroom defending our right to just follow the teachings of our particular religion? And why can't people of other religions do the same? I'm not concerned about separation of state and religion. I think we're all adult enough to realize that what we do in our personal lives and what we believe in our personal lives should have the opportunity of expression by people of all faiths. But every year we go through this, we watch even towns and communities in rural America where the church is not only the spiritual center, it's the cultural center, and it's the gathering place for social events and all of the fun activities of life. But even in these small rural communities, we find contentious issues over nativity displays, over other displays, and so even in those small towns, we go to court. Instead, it's a time when we should be having fun, when we should take the time to honor, in our case as Christians, the birth of Christ. It should be a time when families get together, not to argue over how to express ourselves and our religious beliefs, but to enjoy the joy of Christmas and look forward to the new year. And one of my colleagues at WGN said he was really looking forward to Christmas next year because the presidential election will be history and we won't have to go through all of the debates. Anyway, I want to say to all of you a very Merry Christmas. And you can return your greeting in whatever faith is yours. And I will gladly and gratefully accept the greetings of the season. So let's stay out of the courtroom during the Christmas season. Let's instead spend time with family and friends, wishing each other the joys of the holiday season. And again, I'll say to you, Merry Christmas on Samuelson Says. Couple of emails asking if Max Armstrong and I will do the Christmas on the Farm special that we do every year at Christmas time. The answer is yes, and I can't give you the time because I'm not sure where they have put it on the Christmas Day programming. But yes, Max and I will be doing a Christmas on the Farm, some reminiscing for us, and maybe for many of you as well. Yesterday, before the cattle on feed report was issued, I visited on the phone with Dennis Smith of Archer Financial Services. And so I'm going to share that visit with you and then give you the numbers, some surprising numbers in that cattle on feed report issued yesterday by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Stand by for that, and we'll get to our visit with Dennis when we continue here on the Saturday Morning Show. Dennis Smith of Archer Financial Services joins us this week to discuss markets, particularly livestock, because that is his expertise. And I tell you what, Dennis, the hog market has had its challenges, but I've had a lot of cattlemen calling me saying, when is this going to end? Explain to me what we have seen for the last 2 or 3 months in the cattle industry.
Well, we've seen a big mess with the cattle market working lower under the weight of a poor demand situation oriented. It just appears to me that we've had a beef market that's just not been priced competitively with pork and with poultry. So we've seen a market searching for demand and, quite frankly, losing market share of the consumer dollar, both domestically as well as on the export front.
Now, I've heard some people, Dennis, say, well, it's turkey time between Thanksgiving and Christmas. And we go to turkey and we begin to ignore meats like beef and pork. Is that a factor?
That is a factor, but typically right after Thanksgiving, you have a pretty good surge in beef demand for food service type demand for high-end restaurant business during the holidays. Even fast food business during the holidays is typically quite good. But we did not experience any sort of good demand strength in the beef cutout values here since Thanksgiving.
And let's talk pork for a moment, and then we'll come back to this cattle industry. But we saw pork lean hog futures take some violent moves as well.
Yeah, and we've been quite disappointed with the performance of the hog market, typically looking for rising prices here in the face of peaking hog numbers and supply and hopefully improving demand for a very inexpensive pork product. But we've not seen that develop, and partly because hog numbers, hog slaughter, typically has not peaked out and has not started dropping off. The latest hog and pig report indicated we should be experiencing fewer numbers. It's not happened, as of this day. So we're looking at a record large hog slaughter here in this current trade week.
Did PEDV play any role in what we've seen happen now in the pork industry?
Well, it's helped us. We've had a full recovery from the PED virus, so we are looking at, substantially higher production this fall and this winter than what we experienced a year ago. Amazingly, the pork producers have really seemingly won the battle with the PED virus. So that, if anything, has been a negative influence on prices here over the last 2 or 3 months.
And I would guess the relatively warm fall and winter is a factor.
It has been a factor. It's been a beautiful fall and early winter for raising hogs and for feed conversion. Of course, the new crop corn into the ration, and it's a plentiful corn supply with a low historically corn price, which indicates a little bit of overfeeding. Hog weights are up slightly, so all of those things combined has put more pork into the pipeline than what we expected.
And earlier this month, the first 2 weeks of the month, Dennis, I spoke at 7 farm management marketing outlook meetings in Minnesota, close to the Iowa border. And I had people there telling me that builders of pork feeding facilities are busy as can be. Does that mean we are in an expansion that is maybe bigger than expected?
Well, that would be larger than expected, because we had kind of thought that the expansion had been stifled by, some disappointing hog prices here this fall. Latest hog and pig report seemed to indicate caution by the industry, and we were thinking that caution prevailed here over the last 3 months. So that is actually news to me and would be a little bit negative, in fact, possibly quite a bit negative, if something like that shows up on the upcoming hog and pig report.
Basically came from owner of a construction company that makes slats for the confinement pork feeding industry. And he normally produces 600 of those a day, and he said that he had to increase his production up to 1,100 a day to meet the demand. So I guess it's something we'll keep an eye on. Now, let's take a look at export demand in the pork industry. What's happening there?
Well, we've seen improving exports, but overall it's also somewhat of a disappointment. We have been counting on vastly increased business with China, and it, quite frankly, is just not developed. Now, recent pork exports were up 7%. That was your October trade data, up 7% versus October of last year. But for the period of January through October, pork business to China is down about 25% versus a year ago. So we are losing market share to Europe, the European community, and Orion, that's probably mostly due to the currencies with the strong dollar and the sharply lower European currency. We've just plain flat out lost market share.
Do you see any impact of the first increase in rates by the Fed in 10 years as far as the livestock industry is concerned? Will it have an impact?
It will if the U.S. dollar continues to work higher, and that's one of the perils, I think. It's one thing the Federal Reserve, I believe, is concerned about. If they start raising interest rates, if the U.S. dollar continues to strengthen, that will put our exports of agricultural commodities, including beef and pork, into the stiff headwind and certainly be a negative influence.
So going back to the cattle industry and the volatility we've seen there with up or down limit moves, more than up limit moves, but who's going to get hurt the worst in the cattle industry?
Well, I think it's the feedlot guy, the producer that's finishing out cattle more so than the cow-calf guy, although feeder cattle prices are down substantially as well. But I think the historically high feeder cattle prices we've experienced all year has driven break-even prices for the fed cattle too high and drastically too high given the downturn in the cash steer market. So your feedlot enterprises, your producers, both small and large, that are finishing cattle have sustained tremendous losses this year, if not record losses.
And we saw a cash cattle market this week drop below $120 in some of the plains areas. The question I get asked most often, Dennis, is when are we going to hit bottom on this cattle market?
We are hopeful, Orion, that maybe we are experiencing that as we speak, with this week's cash trade as low as 117 in the southern plains. It's possible you might see this be the low water mark in the cash steer market. The positive that we have, two things, beef imports are starting to decline rather dramatically, and cattle weights due to the muddy feedlot conditions are actually starting to drop for the first time in months. So this is a couple of positives that we're starting to focus upon.
We have seen unusually heavier weights in cattle that are being marketed this year?
Yes, it's been a record heavyweight situation, both steer weights and heifer weights, and it's sort of been engineered by the beef packer. In times of tighter supply and an industry of overcapacity on the slaughter abilities, they desire as large a carcass as possible. So that has encouraged the overfeeding of cattle.
And a lot of cattlemen still concerned about the fact that we have to import beef from Australia and some other markets. But as has been said very often, if it doesn't go both ways, it's not trade.
Yeah, that's right. It's a free market, which is really what you want to see. Although we are expecting imports from Australia to begin to drop off rather substantially as they are experiencing a downturn in beef production and, in fact, record high beef prices right now.
What's happening to beef demand in Japan? You know, I remember, I think it was 86 or 87, being included in a group that went to Tokyo with Clayton Yeider, who later became Secretary of Agriculture, but at that point was Special Trade Representative. And it was really that meeting, I think, that began to open the Japanese market to U.S. beef. And once they got it, they loved it. Do they still love American beef in Japan?
They do. They, I believe, right now rank number two as far as a beef customer, second only to Mexico. They continue to eat large amounts of beef, although the price level has certainly rationed demand in Japan. You know, and I'm talking about the record high prices of the wholesale beef that they've experienced over the last several months. So beef exports to Japan would certainly begin to improve if we continue to see lower prices offered.
Final question, and this one asks for the crystal ball. Looking ahead to 2016, any feelings yet on what prices will do for hogs and cattle?
Well, we look for challenges. Looks like maybe we could see an upward correction early next year in live cattle and feeder cattle, but I think the challenges of high prices and soft demand for beef versus pork will continue to keep a downtrend intact. Hog futures and hog prices need to see increased exports, primarily to China, but all of our other customers. At this point, expansion is the wild card, and if the industry is very conservative, you could see an uptrend develop in hog prices.
Thank you very much, Dennis Smith, Archer Financial Services, livestock analyst, and a good friend of ours who we talk to throughout the year. When we come back, we'll take a look at some very surprising numbers in that Cattle on Feed report yesterday when we continue on the Saturday morning show. That Cattle on Feed report yesterday, the lowest number placed on feed since the government began compiling the data in 1996. Number of cattle placed on feed in feedlots down 11% from a year ago. The number of cattle in feedlots about unchanged, and the number of cattle that went to processing that were marketed went up 4% in November. So it's a report turned bullish for the Monday trade. We'll be back with you next week right up until markets close at noon on Thursday, Christmas Eve Day. Thank you for joining us this morning on the Saturday Morning Show. Max Armstrong, I'm Orion Samuelson, and it's Chicago's very own 720 WGN and WGNradio.com.
Orion Samuelson keeps you connected to the world of business and agriculture on WGN. Hear his reports weekday mornings on The Steve Cochran Show and during the noon hour on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Plus, catch Orion and Max on Saturday mornings at 5 a.m. only on Chicago's WGN Radio 720.